Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Turn to your second choice neighbor and tell them you need to be fruitful. Isn't it amazing how we can always say, I am fruitful, you need to. It's easier to do that. That's why I set it up that way. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We're so glad you're here. This is your first time, your thousandth time. Thank you so much for taking time. It is the greatest commodity you have to sow into what God is doing, not just at Living Way, but in the worldwide, the Big C Church. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And we'll eventually get back to this original text here. But when it says against such things there is no law, it means that the fruit of the Spirit is not legalism. You can't force people to carry these nine fruits. Because if it could be forced, we would have no wars. We would have no road rage. Come on, somebody. There would be no disputes at school, no disputes at work, no disputes on social media. This world would be perfect. It is what we are striving for, but we will never attain that until we get to heaven. And it's not just because of crooked politicians, but because of crooked saints. And us that are still, I say us, that are still becoming like Christ, but we are still like the world in some ways. But the fruitfulness of God can only be found in His Spirit. It is why we call them the fruits of the Spirit, meaning that if you don't have the Spirit of God, you will never be able to have this fruit or produce this fruit. And this is later on in the notes, and we'll get to it here probably next week, but you can't fake fruit. You can only fake love for so long, then the real you is going to show up. That's why 90 Day Fiancé makes me cringe. 90 days? I need 90 days to figure out if I like a restaurant. Not 90 days to figure out whether you're going to be the match and the mate that is going to work well with me for the rest of my life. In this series, we're going to tackle, why as a believer should I be fruitful? How can I be fruitful and where does it come from? How to be fruitful in every season of life. Jesus makes it possible through His Spirit, church, that no matter what season of life you're in, and there's two types of seasons we can be talking about. We can literally be talking about seasons of oppression or seasons of valley or seasons of storms, or we can be talking about mountaintop seasons, that it doesn't matter what season we're in, God still has called us to be fruitful. And can I remind you that fruit does not grow on mountaintops? Fruit grows in the valley. And so the greatest fruit of your life might come at the most inopportune season of your life. But when we talk about fruit in every season, we might be talking about single season and married season, young season and mature season, jobless season and employed season, whatever that looks like for you. And finally, we'll dive into what does the fruit of the Spirit look like in real life. If you're like me and you grew up in church, we've heard of the fruits of the Spirit. We've sung songs and we've memorized them for Bible bucks. How many of you remember Bible bucks? If you didn't grow up in Sunday school, you probably never heard Bible bucks. But we'd save them up for a month or a quarter so we could spend them on 86-cent prizes. Much like Chuck E. Cheese, you spend $83 on tokens so you can buy a $3 stuffed animal. But we had Bible bucks learning these fruits of the Spirit. But not just being able to recite them, not just be able to declare that you have them, but literally seeing what love and self-control and gentleness and faithfulness, what it looks like in everyday life for believers. And I believe that it's not one of those things where we get to pick and choose which one we're going to exhibit. I think as believers that say that we're Spirit-fed and Spirit-led, that every one of these fruits, all nine of them, should be a part of our lives each and every day, no matter whether we're at church or in the world. So let's tackle the first question, why as a believer should I be fruitful? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. I'm going to give you context because context is king. Context to fruitfulness. Context to why Paul writes this to the church at Galatia and to the Galatians. But we're going to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Somebody say dominion. Over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all of the earth. Somebody say over all the earth. You know what includes all of the earth? Your address. Your job's address. Your school's address. That means God has called us to not only have dominion and exercise dominion at Living Way Church, at 13285 Interstate 35 North, San Antonio, Texas, 78233, but wherever you're watching from today online, wherever you go home to tonight, and wherever your vehicle takes you this week, over all of the earth, God has given us dominion over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. If you're a note taker, and I hope you are, write this down or take the picture of the LED wall. God has created us to be a dominant force on the earth. Most groups in this world that are minority in fashion, and when I say minority, I'm not talking about color only. I'm talking about maybe the LGBT, A, B, C, D, F, G, H, I. They keep adding letters. I don't know what to say anymore, but that community, the reason that that community gets a lot of the provision that they get, and I'm not making light of that community, but what I'm saying is the reason they get a lot of provisions is because they're the loudest group. And the reason the church is less of a church each and every year as years pass is because we are quiet. And we're getting quieter every day. We're getting more politically correct every day. We have preachers that will not breach the subject of abortion. We have preachers that will not breach the subject of same-sex marriage. We have preachers that will not breach the subject of all of the things going on in our world. But I am here to tell you that if we are going to be the dominant force that God has called us to be, not a violent force, but a dominant force, meaning that, listen, this is the way God has set it up. This is how he created the world. This is what our nation was founded on. And these are the principles that we are going to live out. It is that dominance that I'm talking about. It's time that we talk about Jesus. It's time that we talk about life, the sanctity of life, the abundance of life. It's time that we talk about loving, and we love every community. We love every sinner. We love everybody, but that doesn't mean that we've got to condone what they do, but we can love them to the cross. We can let them know respectfully, I don't agree with what you're doing. This is what the Word of God says about what you're doing, but you've got a place in our church. You've got a place at our table, because I believe if you sit here long enough and you hear us singing, make room for Jesus, that Jesus is eventually going to show up in your life, show up in your heart, show up in your relationship, and you will become more like him and less like them. See, the church is not a museum of perfect people. The church is a hospital for broken people. Everybody in this room has something that we are falling short in, that we are getting better at in Jesus' name. Some of us still have addictions that need to be broken. Some of us still have desires that have to be quenched. Some of us are still becoming more like Christ, and becoming more like Christ, we're going to start seeing changes in what we like, what we do, what we involve ourselves in. But God has called us to be a dominant force on this earth, not at church, not on Sundays, but each and every day of our life, he's called us to be dominant, and we are dominant when the Holy Spirit produces fruit in us, and we let that fruit go at all times. As a child of God, you are either operating in a place of authority and dominion, or you are being overpowered and dominated by the enemy and the forces of this world. There is no middle ground. You are either operating in dominion, or you are being dominated. And I choose to operate in dominion. And again, that doesn't mean that people are doing what I want them to do, but what it means is that people are doing what God wants them to do in my life and on my behalf. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So God created us, just to backtrack, God created us with dominion. He created us in his image so we look like him. Verse 38, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over everything that moveth upon the earth. He then blessed creation. He blessed them, God said. So a recap here in verse 25, 26, 27, and 28. Here's the recap. God created us to operate with dominion. God created us in his image so that we look like him, and God has blessed his creation. So if God has created us to be a dominant force and we look like him and we carry his blessing, the determining factor if we are really Christ-like and look like God is what do we produce? What comes out of us? You look like God, but you don't talk like God. We look like God, but we don't act like God. Well, hold on. He's made us to have dominion. We look like him. He has blessed us. So the only thing left is for us to produce something like God would produce. So my question to you today is this, church. Are you creating or are you bringing chaos to situation? Are you creating love or hate? Are you producing faith or fear? Are you producing hope or pessimism? Are you producing worship or worry? Are you producing prayer or anxiety? Are you producing peace or conflict? Are you producing calmness or drama? What you produce, what comes out of you, tells us the spirit that controls you. What comes out of you? Out of the abundance, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What is inside? That's why 90-day fiance usually doesn't work, because most people can guard their mouth for a season. But when you find the real them, when they get into real situations and things aren't going right for them and it's an uncomfortable season for them, what is in them is going to come out of them. That's why I believe that every believer should not have only the Spirit on them, but should have the Spirit in them. Why? Because everything that comes out of me, I want it tempered by the Holy Ghost. I want it baptized by the Holy Ghost. I want my words to be creative and not destructive. I want my words to bring life and not death. I want my words to bring blessings and not curses. And so I want to encourage you today. You look like God. Yes, you are created in his image. He has put dominion and authority in you. He has caused you to look like him, and he has blessed you. But now it comes down to, are you allowing God to rule every part and every day of your life, so that when you are hit by the enemy, what comes out of you is not profanity. What comes out of you is not negativity. But when you are hit by the enemy, what comes out of you is, bless God. I know you didn't just do that, devil. I am a child of God. I am anointed. I am appointed. I am ready for everything you have. I am blessed to be a blessing. I'm the head and not the tail, above only, not below. I am first and never last. You've got to be ready for what's in you to come out of you. If you submerge a sponge in water and you squeeze that sponge, honey doesn't come out. What's in it comes out. What you have immersed yourself in. Some of us spend more time on fantasy football projections than we do in the Word of God. Some of us spend more time on Instagram and TikTok judging our likes, our follows, and our views. And it shouldn't be really who's following you. It should be more about, are you following Jesus with everything that you are? Immerse yourself in the things of God. Immerse yourself in the presence of God. So when life squeezes you, the only thing that comes out of you are the fruit that his Spirit produces in your life. I want to encourage you today, church. You look like God, but we want you to sound like God, talk like God, operate like God, and that only happens through his Spirit. What you produce, what comes out of you, tells us what Spirit controls you. The first words that God ever speaks to man was the command to be fruitful. He could have said anything. How are you doing? Nice to meet you. He could have talked about the beauty of the garden. He could have talked about how awesome he is. He could have talked about his omniscience and his omnipresent. But the first thing he does is he said, before we go any further, after he breathed breath into mankind's lungs, he looks at Adam and says, be fruitful. It's going to get tight in here for the next 2 minutes, but it's all right. Be fruitful. The reason that I believe that abortion is murder is because it robs us of the very first command that God ever gave us. Because when a husband and a wife get together, or a man and a woman get together and produce a life, they are literally being fruitful. The seed of man becomes fruit in the womb, and conception leads to birth. And so when we abort these babies, we are literally saying, hey, God, that first thing, I don't like that. Here's the thing. If you don't like the first command, you can't talk about any of the blessing. If you don't fulfill the first command, you can't talk about God's favor. Let's go a little deeper. If we're talking about be fruitful, and I know that this is gonna agitate some people, but let it agitate them. And I'm not going to apologize for what I'm about to say. And let me just preface this. There is no such thing as situational morality. If it's wrong in the altar, it's wrong in a doctor's office. I knew it. Three people clapped. Mandy lifted her hand. I'll just preach this to you then. There's no such thing as situational morality. If it's wrong in the altar, it's wrong in a doctor's office. If it's wrong in the church, it's wrong in the back seat. If it's wrong in 20, if it was wrong in Jesus' day, it's wrong in 2022. Should we live to see the world go to 3,022, it'll still be wrong. God's word does not change. God's word does not evolve. God's word does not change itself and form itself and morph itself to fit our lives. Our whole basis of being disciples of Jesus Christ is to make sure that our life morphs and changes, and we manipulate our lives to match his word. Say, that's a political statement. No, that's a God statement. That's a Bible statement. That's a morality statement. The reason that I know that, and I said all that to dive into the topic of same-sex marriage and homosexuality. Listen, if you are a homosexual in this church, we love you, and don't you ever stop coming to church here. Because every time I mention homosexuality, I always like to talk about the people shacking up that aren't married. I always like to talk about the womanizers and the ones that are sleeping with people that ain't their wives and ain't their husbands every other weekend, and they've got multiple partners and they've got open relationships and they've got all this. We have all sinned and all fallen short of the glory of God. And so homosexuality is just like lying, stealing, or heterosexuality unchecked. But the reason that I can't ever, even if, and I've got friends, I've got people that I've done business with that have chosen that lifestyle, and I do say chosen that lifestyle. And you might say, well, Pastor, I was born that way. Well, even if you believe that, the Bible says you must be born again. And so if you were born that way, if that's the stance you're taking, I encourage you, like me, be born again. Because I used to be addicted. I used to be trapped. I used to be tied. But I was born again. So you can be born that way if that's what you embrace. But you must be born again. But here's the crux. Be fruitful and multiply. As much as they say they love each other, they can't be fruitful. I know that's hard. I know that's difficult to explain. I know that's difficult to take that stand in 2022, but it doesn't change my love for you, but my love for God won't allow me to tiptoe around these issues. I will stand here until I'm red in the face. I will stand here until the end of my days, and it doesn't matter if CNN comes in, if Fox comes in, doesn't matter if I'm interviewed. I'm never going to tell them what I think. I'm always going to tell them what the Word of God says. Be fruitful. My voting is not for candidates. My voting always comes back to the Word of God. I've been able to vote in a few elections because I'm 40 years old, and the year I turned 18, I voted in that election. And I'm here to tell you, not who I voted for, but I'm here to tell you this. I've never been able to make a decision politically on economics. I've never been able to make a decision politically on foreign policy and foreign affairs. Why? Because I can never get past homosexuality and abortion. Why? Nothing else matters if they're not fulfilling the first command in the Word of God, which is be fruitful and multiply. And I've already prepared myself for the quietness of this room right now. I guarantee you, our viewers on Facebook just dropped and people are already headed to Luby's. But I cannot, as a man of God, I cannot, in the office and position God has given me, put a deaf ear to what's going on and close my mouth. We are a church. And you say, well, if you're not going to abort babies, then you need to take care of babies. Oh, we will take care of babies. We've had community-wide baby showers. We give diapers and formula out every week. We've got parents who've adopted and fostered in this church. We are a part of the answer because we know the answer is Jesus Christ. And I know a few of you are applauding, but I want everybody to look in our hearts and say, God, if I'm going to be a follower and if I'm going to be fruitful, I have to stand on the Word of God. We'll get to the easier parts to shout about now. I've got 2 minutes left. The first words that God ever speaks, be fruitful, not a suggestion, a command. 5 commands God gives to man right here. Be fruitful, multiply. You can't multiply unless you're fruitful. How many grandparents we have in the house today? Ooh, a lot of you. How many great-grandparents? Any great-grandparents? And still going up. Any great-great-grandparents? Like, you're great to the second power. Now, they're all in the 9 a.m. service. Oh, there's someone back here. Okay, great-great-grandparents. You know why you're a great-great-grandparent? Because someone was fruitful and they multiplied. Fruitful, multiply. Said replenish. Replenish means restore. When you're fruitful, restoration happens. Not restoration by the world standards, restoration by heaven standards. 4th thing he said is subdue. You cannot subdue unless you're fruitful. Subdue means to take control. You know how you take control? You have all that you need because you were fruitful and you multiply. And you were restored. Now you can subdue. Subdue means take control. Then he said, and have dominion. Have dominion, take control. Have dominion means you stay in control. Doesn't mean that you're in control for the hour and a half that we're singing, worshiping, and diving into the Word of God and in this altar, and then 12:45 comes and you lose the feeling. Listen, it should not lift when you leave this building. Why? Because the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, where we get the fruits of the Spirit, it should go with you home because it is in you. You say, well, why do I feel like it gets so intense on a Sunday morning? You know the reason you feel like that is you bring your Holy Spirit, I bring mine. We all bring our portion of what God is doing in our lives. We all get together. We start praising. We start worshiping. We start interceding. And you get hundreds of people like this, like Faith, like mine. And, man, we get excited. And all that spirit is just flowing. And then you go to your job tomorrow, and you're still hoping to vibe with somebody, but they don't have the Spirit like you have the Spirit. So get this. They don't have the Spirit, but you're going to give them some fruit. Check this out. Taste and see, the Bible says, that the Lord is good. You give them some fruit, then they're going to want the source. Then you're going to be able to tell them, listen, I don't have to be your hope dealer. I don't have, come on now, I said hope, not dope, hope. I don't have to be your hope dealer. I don't have to be your fruit salesman. I don't have to be your grocer. Why? Because you can get the same spirit that I have. And I know you've been coming to my cart and I've been giving you fruit, but let me tell you something. God wants you to have his Spirit. God wants you to have his Son, Jesus. God wants you to have access to this fruit at all time. Can I be just like crazy transparent today? I never have anxiety attacks. I had some anxiety this week. You know what my anxiety was over? My 16-year-old girl driving a car by herself. I literally, my heart started racing. I'm driving 70 miles down the highway, 70 miles an hour down the highway. And these semis are passing, and we're darting through, and there's construction out by our house. And I just started thinking, little old Jaden, who's been driving all of 13 months, who had never driven a four-wheeler hardly, and is now driving this big old vehicle, is going to be, I started getting anxiety. My heart started racing. My knees got weak. Arms are sweaty. But no, just kidding. Sometimes I go back. I'm sorry. But you know what? That anxiety lasted all of 5 seconds. And then the fruit of the Spirit took over. And this is what the fruit said. Anxiety, you don't have a root here. He's rooted in the Holy Spirit. So peace floods. And peace flood. And I said, God, you got her in your hand. There's no way you're going to let this little worshiper be taken out by something crazy. She's got a plan for her life. You've anointed her. That's why when you get anointed in some vision and the enemy comes at you, you say, oh, I'm anointed. I've got the fruit of the Spirit. Devil, you should have taken me out when I was in the club. You should have taken me out with that overdose. You should have taken me out and finished it off when I was in the hospital. But here I stand, a child of God, a redeemed, and I wake